As violent crime continues to rise in Canada's major cities, the many failures of Canada's justice system have come into sharper focus for Canadians over the past few years. What is described as Canada's revolving door bail policy, where repeat violent offenders are released back out onto the streets after committing crimes, only to continue committing more violent crimes, has rightfully occupied the attention of a large number of Canadians who just want to live in a normal and safe country. But what about the other side of Canada's justice system? The Canadian justice system has a bad history with wrongfully convicting innocent people for crimes they haven't actually committed. Not only does this strip innocent Canadians of their rights and freedoms, but it allows the actual perpetrators of these crimes to get away and walk free. If you've been paying close attention to the news over the past few weeks, you may have come across the story of Robert Mailman and Walter Gillespie, two innocent men who had their lives taken away from them by the Canadian justice system and convicted of a murder, which it turns out they never actually committed. Well, joining us now is Ron Dalton, the co-president of Innocence Canada, a nonprofit legal organization working to help identify and exonerate individuals who have been convicted of crimes that they did not commit. Ron himself spent close to 8 years in prison for a crime that he didn't commit, and we're going to get into his story later on in the interview, but I want to begin, Ron, with the story of Robert Mailman and Walter Gillespie. These men were given life sentences for the 1983 murder of George Lehman in New Brunswick. They spent 18 and 21 years of their lives, respectively, in jail, and just a few weeks ago, these men were finally exonerated after 40 years with the help of your group, Innocence Canada. Ron, can you take us through the story of this case and how something like this is even possible?
Well, Harrison, I wish it wasn't possible, but it's all too possible. We had Mr. Mailman and Mr. Gillespie acquitted of crimes, 40-year-old homicides, in early January. In July past, we had Brian Anderson and A.J. Woodhouse in Winnipeg exonerated and declared innocent after 50 years plus a day. Those four gentlemen is 180 years between them. And that's almost all you need to know, is that we get it wrong. We get it wrong a lot more often than we thought we ever would. And it's almost impossible. And I say almost because thanks to the good work of Innocence Canada and some other volunteer organizations, we managed to get some of them straightened away, although it's very, very long period of time. And literally, in Mr. Mailman and Mr. Gillespie's case, it's taken half of their lives.
In this retrial that happened in the beginning of January, there wasn't any actual evidence presented from the prosecution. So it appears that all the evidence brought forward against them originally wasn't sound, it wasn't strong, but yet it was taken. Their lives were taken away from them. Is there any accountability that's going to be faced by the New Brunswick, the St. John Police and the Crown Prosecution, or is this just going to keep happening to Canadians and no one's going to be held accountable?
I'm afraid it would be a very exceptional case if there was any real accountability. This case against Mr. Mailman and Mr. Gillespie was weak to start with. Their first trials back in 1985 ended in hung juries. They were retried a couple months later and then convicted. And for 40 years, they've maintained their innocence when it would have been much easier to go along and say, yes, we did this. They would have been out of prison much earlier. In Mr. Gillespie's case, the day after he was arrested, they offered him the opportunity to plead guilty to being an accessory. They were recommending a 2 to 3 year sentence. He didn't have to spend 40 years in prison. The man looked at them and said, I can't say I saw something I didn't see, and I can't say I heard something I didn't hear. And for 40 years, he's maintained his innocence. And that's one of the themes that we do see in the work that Innocence Canada does. When people will stand by their innocence for that long, when it would have been easier and more to their advantage sometimes to admit to something that they hadn't done. It's very much a red flag for us. It makes us dig in a lot deeper. But as you said, by the time we got to in front of the Chief Justice on the 4th of January, earlier this month, there was no evidence left. There was never much to start with. And in order to get the federal justice minister to overturn their convictions, we had to convince the minister that the convictions were unsound, that there was a likelihood of a miscarriage of justice. And that meant knocking the underpinnings out from what little evidence there was. So that by the time we called the case into court on the 4th of January, we had two murder trials in a half-hour period. The case was called, the gentleman entered not guilty pleas, the Crown admitted they had no evidence, and the Chief Justice acquitted them.
It's astonishing. I just want to kind of get as clear an answer as possible here, because I can't believe this. So there's really no accountability. There's no punishment for putting people behind bars wrongfully. You can, the prosecution, the police service can charge people. Prosecutions can help assist people who have been wrongfully convicted, getting them into jail. And they're not going to face any punishment for taking these people's lives away.
The closest thing to accountability that I've seen in the work that I've been doing with Innocence Canada, and I've been out of prison for almost 26 years now and volunteering with them, and I've been on their board for 15 or 16 years. I've been on the executive, I've been co-president the last 5 or 6. I know most of the wrongly convicted people in this country. We had a case of Charles Smith, who was practicing as a pediatric forensic pathologist in Ontario. He specialized in doing baby autopsies when nobody else wanted to do them. And he became a bit of a superstar testifying in court. He was almost unassailable. Nobody wanted to challenge his opinions. He was responsible for 13 cases that we're aware of wrongful convictions. A couple of those people served 13, 12 years in difficult circumstances in prison. Ultimately, there was a public inquiry held looking into how that could happen, at the end of which, Charles Smith lost his license to practice medicine. He was fined a total of, I think it was $2,650, and he lost his license to practice. He was never charged criminally, of course, and he moved to another area. He attempted to get back into the medical field, and the press actually caught up to him in Saskatchewan, and he went on then to move to the West Coast, and he's still living free. So there was a tiny fine, tiny in relation to the 13 ruined lives, and he lost his license to practice medicine. You might say there was some accountability in that case, but really it was just professional, the profession closing ranks and saying this guy was never qualified in the first place. But literally, there has been no accountability. In Mr. Millman and Mr. Gillespie's case, over half of the players, the original police officers, prosecutors, people that were involved, are no longer alive. So you just can't go back. The other person that will never see justice in their case is the victim. George Lehman was brutally beaten and set on fire. It wasn't by Mr. Millman and Mr. Gillespie, but the St. John Police Force is not going to go back after 40 years and try and reinvestigate that case. Witnesses are no longer around. There were other viable suspects had they been properly investigated at the time.